Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A classic car club toured Marion County this week. Let's go in depth with Pat McGowan, Jim Ferris, and Paul Burcraft with the Vintage Chevrolet Club of America. Well, hello, gentlemen. Just came through town with some great cars. What are you doing in town? Well,
this is the annual summer gathering for the Vintage Chevrolet Club of America. It's a national or international organization, and this is a special tour just for cars 1928 and earlier. They all have four-cylinder engines. They're overhead Chevrolet engines, and every one of these are pretty original cars, the original equipment. They've been fixed up by our members, and we provide this tour for them so that they can use the cars with people that have like-type cars. We have people here from Australia and California, and Oregon, Washington, Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Even from Iowa.
Even from Iowa.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from California.
You're from California.
I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Oh.
But the reason the tour is here is the member that's putting it on for the group lives in Cedar Rapids. And so we're in this area touring the museum and other things around here.
And so did you drive all your cars to Iowa?
No, most of them had to be brought by trailers because most of these cars are 45-mile-an-hour cars. And so if you drove from California to here, I'd still be on the road for four or five more days. Yeah, or run over. So we put our cars by trailer, bring them here, meet, and then spend our time driving and talking. And because when you get a chance to be with people who care about the same stuff, so then it's like a big family. Everybody's seeing each other for 27 years now.
Wow. But in addition to that, these are the people that have the parts, know how to fix the cars, so people feel comfortable being with this group because if they have a breakdown and can't figure it out, there's somebody in the group that can make the car run again. We've had tours over the 27 years where we've changed rods in engines, we've changed rear axles in engines.
Yeah, water pumps, all the stuff that could go wrong, but these guys are all tinkerers, so it's like, yeehaw, we get to work on something. So everybody's happy.
Really?
Oh yeah, everybody's happy.
Well, and that's another reason that you don't want to drive from California or Seattle. That'd just be so hard on the cars.
Yeah.
Right, right. And it takes such a long time. You know, it's really hard for people to have, like this takes, for me, it uses up 2 weeks, you know, because you got to get here, spend a week driving around and 3 or 4 days going back. It uses up 2 weeks. It's hard for people to have 2 weeks to spare. But, I mean, I think about this all year round. All of us are pretty much signed up for next year's tour already.
That one will be in McCall, Idaho. So we go all over the country, mostly from, I don't think we've been up into Maine or New England, but
no.
We've been as far east as Kentucky and Springfield, Illinois.
Went into Canada one time. We go over where it's neat, and it's green and neat here, so I'm happy.
Well, and where did you start? I mean, we have a
hub hotel, and that's in Altoona. We're at the Prairie Meadows a hotel in Altoona, and every day we start from there and go someplace and go back. It's not progressive. We're not moving from one spot
okay.
to another.
Okay, so you came from Altoona, and how long did that take you?
Not very long.
42 miles, and we left there at a little after 8 this morning.
And we mostly took the same route. We all have the same map, but not all of us seem to be able to follow it.
And this was the first stop here for the tour. When we always get a picture of all the cars that are on the tour, but we wanted to have them on the track, but it was so wet and muddy. You can imagine what tires like this would do out there.
It would skid.
We'd be dragging cars out with the horses if you had them.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pat McGowan, Jim Ferris, and Paul Burcraft with the Vintage Chevrolet Club of America.
I don't think you guys have had a chance to go into the Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, have you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, I think you're in for a treat. You'll like some of this, especially the older.
Oh, sure.
Older cars.
Well, one of our heroes, Gerber, his shop is in there.
Yeah.
I was here when we were setting this up.
And who's that?
John Gerber.
He ran Chevrolet engines. So he's our hero.
Okay.
All those regular guys use Fords, but our heroes use Chevrolet.
Well, then he won most of the time with it.
That's right.
All right.
At least that's our view.
He's from Iowa, I think, or someplace. He raced a lot in Iowa.
Well, yeah, an important part of sprint car history if his garage is in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How do you buy? How do you purchase
one
of these?
Well, what happens is that either you buy a pile, right? Because Chevrolets have a wood subframe in the body. So you buy a pile. When the car sits somewhere in a farm, in a barn, it's a pile. And you start with a pile and you build a car. Or if you're really lucky, you find a really great car that's been stored somewhere. So it ranges between a really great car that's been stored and a pile. And so you have this range of, so I usually start with piles, but this time, this is little 23 that's here, that one lived in a barn for 80 years. So, you know, it's amazing how good it is. So you just, kind of luck, you know. I mean, we've looked at a lot of barns, and we've looked at a lot of piles, you know.
And you can't go to the parts store and buy the parts, so that's the reason for the organization. It's a national organization, and the people that have like or interest in like vehicles have information on parts or may have a part. People trade parts, sell parts to each other. We have one guy with us who does nothing, pretty much nothing, but rebuild carburetors. He told me the other night he's done almost 900 carburetors for cars 1931 and back.
Wow. Is there a part that they, you know, that you just can't get anymore?
Yeah,
well, there's lots
it.
Of them. You got to make them.
And how do you do that?
Well, like me, I'm a retired machine shop teacher. So then they call me up, can you make this? Can you get that? And then sometimes you manufacture it and, you know, you make a dozen or so, and the guy, people will get them. It's like there's a certain brake part for 28s that are really hard to get. And so I had a 28, so I made the part. I had a friend with a 28, so I made a part. Pretty soon I set up to make more than one part at a time, so I make 50 or 60 parts, and then have somebody, like one of the guys on the tour just who sells Chevy parts, put it in his catalog, and then people call him up and say, do you have this brake block? And he goes, oh, yeah, Pat makes them, you know, and then he sells them, you know, and so that's what happens, is you find a part, and you duplicate it, you make it, or a guy who likes transmissions works on those, and guys who likes engines, you know, does the engines, and you know, all of us like some part of it. And when you came up, we were talking about the process of fixing tops, right? Because we got to have someone who can fix a top, you know? And so then we learn. So he fixed his own top. Carmine fixed his top. I'm asking him, well, how the heck do you do that? That's why we come to this.
We love these things so much that we bring our grandkids with us so that they can learn how to work with them, and maybe someday they'll take over these cars or other cars and be part of this thing. This is Paul. He's from Michigan.
Is Paul your
my grandson?
Grandson?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about all this, Paul?
Oh, I enjoy it every year. It gives me time away from what I'm doing at home. I get to come out and have some fun with my grandpa. And sometimes, you know, we just get into things that puts us in awkward situations, like last year having two flat tires and breaking down twice, having to get towed back. So it's just a overall joy, fun.
Well, I bet your grandpa appreciates you being willing to do this. Someday, are you going to get a pile or find a car in a barn?
Well, that's the plan. I first got to learn how to drive it, though, you know.
Grandpa doesn't let you drive?
Small steps. You got to take small steps.
Well, I would if the cars would stay running.
But we all have fears of the same thing. You know, you teach someone to drive it. If they break a gear in that transmission, you're in trouble. You know, so that means you broken part is tough to find. So you have to teach people sort of gradually. You know, but young people, you know, who have no experience driving manual transmission cars, they have a tough time with these. And even people who've driven manual transmission modern cars have a tough time. The clutch in my 23, the clutch is leather. You oil it so that it doesn't grab and break your neck, right? Well, it's a learning deal to be able to learn how to drive it.
So. Well, right. And I used to, you know, drive cars, you know, in the 60s and mm-hmm. 70s that were manual, and every one was different, had a different feel. It had be treated, you know, daintily or rough. Everything was different, and I'm sure it's just like 10 times more sensitive than
but
in
simpler.
Yours.
But simpler.
Yeah.
Once you're on top of it, it's easier to deal with because you're not worrying about a computer trying to tell you you're doing the wrong thing or light coming on.
Yeah, and it does another thing. When you drive these, you're driving it. You don't think about other stuff. You don't care about anything else. You're driving this car, you're shifting it, you're listening to it, you're looking at the cornfields and the trees, and the rest of the world is gone. You could care less about it. So as you go down the road, it makes you feel really good. It's amazing for people who see us and then go for a ride for the first time, and if they go very far, they realize, whoa, this is silly, but really fun. It's amazing. It is amazing. So guys like him get hooked, you know. That's our trick.
Are you hooked?
Yeah, I am.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pat McGowan, Jim Ferris, and Paul Burcraft with the Vintage Chevrolet Club of America. You think maybe Grandpa will leave you his car?
I mean, well, I don't know.
I have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You got to figure that out.
No, hey, they're going to go whoever will. The trouble is that kids want the cars, but they don't know how to take care of it. By him doing this sort of thing, then he's the logical one that would end up with
good
one.
Move, first man on the line. Good move.
See, I've been coming the last year, not necessarily driving, but I've been learning how to take care of them. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that there's lots to be done taking care of them. And one of the things, of course, since I don't know anything about the mechanics of it, just the beauty of the cars themselves, keeping the body up. Do you have to do
like 23?
Well, use this one, for example, right here. This car, you look at it, there's some problems there with the paint on it. But that's original paint.
Close to original. Yeah, it was painted. It's a 23. It's painted green in 28.
Okay.
Sold in Pasadena, California. Went to a farmer in the Central Valley of California. His two kids drove it. Went into a barn from then on.
Yeah. So nobody wanted to do anything with
it? No, it just sat back there. So there was a Mennonite group, and they would auction the car. It never would move the car, but they would auction it off. Whoever bought it would donate the car back to the church, and then they'd auction it off.
Oh.
And eventually the IRS got them, and then it went to a real auction, and then I showed up. And so I didn't feel bad I took it away from the Mennonites. They weren't driving it, you know?
My point was going to be that these cars are, some of them look very nice because they've been recently or restored within the last 10 or 12 years. But a car like this is almost, to my notion, has more value than one that's been totally fixed up with modern paints
All the new stuff.
One thing we give up on is the glass. This one only has windshield glass, but the rest of them have side glass. And they were all plate glass, which is deadly when it breaks. So we do all try to keep the cars as safe as possible.
Do you guys ever think about the people, the lives that pass through the seats in these cars?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's why I researched who had this car and where it came from, because I wanted to know who had it. That way I have an idea what the car has done during its life. That's why I found out where it came from. And there's a lot of people who know really a lot about their cars. And there's a few of us who, you know, you don't get to know. Like if you build a car from a pile, you might know what the family had, you know, that car, but you don't know its history. But some of these cars are made out of actually five or six cars because you never got all of one to build it. But, you know, it's just luck. But, yeah, the history is so cool. And you find out, wow, this went through five people's hands and they took care of it. You know, it didn't die, it didn't get junked, it, you know, So it makes you happy. And you feel responsible to take care of it also. You know, you feel like, oh,
yeah, you're saving a piece of history. And the history of the people that had the car before. These cars were really important to farmers because it just gave them mobility. This is close to the railroads and the environment, but I always tell the story of my wife's grandparents who lived 30 miles north of Havre. They would take their wheat in on a horse and a wagon.
Yeah.
And they'd do one run a day, sleep underneath the train elevator when they got there at night, unload, go back, get another load, come back, sleep. When they got a Model T Ford truck, they could make two trips a day with their wheat to the elevator. Which, I mean, it was that dramatic. It's almost like the computer era now, how dramatic the computer has changed our lives. Well, the cars changed those people's lives. And those are the kinds of things you like to find out about with the car that you've got if you can.
One last question.
Okay.
Any advice for people that might get the bug?
If you like Chevrolets, join the Chevrolet Club first. Talk to us first. We can tell you what not to do. You know, that a lot of times people buy the car first and then they do things that they regret later because there's easy ways and hard ways. So if they want to even find out about it, the Chevy Club's, you know, got online stuff, you know, and they need to talk to us first. It isn't like we, you know, would bug them. The idea is to say, well, you know, I made this mistake. I did this. Those things were a problem. I'll save you from the problems. You know, don't do that. Don't do this. Or if they're looking for a car, maybe you need to ride in a few cars first and say, you know, a 1917 is too hard to drive and a 1957 isn't what I want. You know what I mean? Just you have this road. And our group, 28s, there's a jillion of them here. I consider them the modern cars. They have four-wheel brakes. Those little guys are show-offs. But maybe that's what you want, is a 28 with better brakes and a sealed engine. Or maybe you're a weird guy who wants a really early one, and you want everything to be the hard way. But if you don't ride in it first and talk to the people, you know, then you don't know. So talk to us first. Now, if you're a Studebaker guy, talk to the Studebaker people. But if you're a Chevy guy, talk to us, because we found out.
Our website is VCCAS, Victor Charlie Alpha .org. And all they have to do is look that up on the computer. It'll come up and they can get all kinds of information about the club. There's a technical advisor for every year in the club. I happen to be for 23. And people can write me, call me, email me, and I can respond to them and tell them, answer their questions. They're people all over the country that do that. So you can find out about Fords that way. You can find out about Plymouths. You can find out. Every club has its information.
Thanks to Pat McGowan, Jim Ferris, and Paul Burcraft for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.